How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Celtics with the Rain and Jays. I'm Jay King. I am joined today by Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript, who just started the Locked On Thunder podcast in the Locked On Podcast Network. Huge, huge news tonight. Breaking news. This is the second time we are recording this podcast because I am really stupid and I completely botched the first audio. And Fred is nice enough to come do it a second time. So you're going to hear our second time recording a Kevin Durant podcast.
This is going to sound completely natural. We haven't done any of this before.
Yeah, we haven't talked about any of this stuff at all. Like, we definitely didn't talk about this like 30 minutes ago or even closer to this time than that. So this is real dedication from Fred. We appreciate it. We're going to get right into the good stuff. Kevin Durant, he can't leave the Thunder, right? Like, everybody thinks he's going to do the 1+1 deal. That's kind of got to be the thinking around the Oklahoma City team, right? Or,
well, first off, I just want to say that was very naturally phrased, Jay. You really, really sold the fact that you haven't asked me that before. I think sentiment around the city is definitely that he's gonna stick around. I also think that everybody here is probably about to have a collective panic attack at the same time. He's the only basketball this city has ever known. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder have not existed without Kevin Durant. So people are kind of freaking out. This is his first unrestricted free agency. He signed pretty quickly the first time around, but that was restricted. It was a different scenario. It was a long time ago. This is a different situation, and he's, you know, the prettiest girl to dance right now. This is it's a nice situation to be in if you're Kevin Durant. Also, I want to say, since we didn't address it immediately because we addressed it last time, but I am going to be hosting the Locked On Thunder podcast starting this week, which is going to be daily. So I'm going to plug that immediately so people get it early.
Yes, everybody needs to listen to the Locked On Thunder podcast with Fred Katz, who is awesome at asking questions to himself. we'll get more to that later. Back to Kevin Durant. Are people going crazy for him in Oklahoma City? Are they starting to lose their minds? Are there billboards up and people in the streets praying and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, there is something I took a picture of and was going to tweet out and forgot to take it out. Or forgot to tweet it out, which was I was walking down the street and there was this, I guess this building was reconstructed, and they had a sign. It was almost like a movie theater type of awning, and on the awning there was a sign that said where, you know, you would normally, I guess, list the movie theaters. It almost looked like that movie from The Majestic, the Jim Carrey movie, just that building, except totally revamped, and it just said, KD, bet you didn't think that we would come back either. And it's just, he's the theme of the town. It's like the whole city is having one, like, really, really desperate themed party, and Kevin Durant is the theme. People, I think, who aren't from Oklahoma City, and until I moved here to cover this team, I don't think I fully realized how extreme it was either. I mean, the Thunder are such a fabric of this city. It's an amazing thing. I think people realize that the collegiate type of fan base it is, and that it's the only team in the state, and how ferocious this fan base is, and how crazy the in-game environments are. And it honestly is all true. It's not oversold. The game environments are nuts. I think it's definitely the loudest arena I've ever been to. I'm sure that has to do with the acoustics as much as the fans, but it's amazing. The fan base is crazy. There's no doubting that. But at the same time, I mean, Kevin Durant is completely intertwined with Oklahoma City economics. Like, this city was not the same as it is now when he first came here, when the Thunder first came here. It was a different place. It's more it's kind of had a boom economically. It's had a boom in terms of lifestyle and quality of life here since the Thunder have come here, and that's been directly tied to the NBA team coming here, you know, in 2008.
It's crazy because the Thunder have never known a team without Kevin Durant. You know, he moved there. He was drafted by the Supersonics, spent a little time there, and then the team moved to Oklahoma City, and literally he has been there from the time the team started. The city only knows Kevin Durant as far as the Oklahoma City Thunder go. You know, you go to Uber drivers there, they're telling you everybody loves the Thunder. You walk down the street and there's just Thunder fans everywhere. It really is like it's a special place because there aren't as far as other professional teams there. It's just the Thunder, and it really is a nutty place to watch a game. It's a lot of fun to go, and that's how Kevin Durant grew up. That's the only home he's ever known, and now here he is, you know, finally branching out. He's going to meet with six teams, including the Boston Celtics, Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, Los Angeles Clippers, and that pesky other team that I'm forgetting right now.
I think you're forgetting you said Thunder, Spurs, Warriors, Clippers, Celtics Clippers. And Heat.
Heat, yes. Okay, so if you're the Thunder GM, let's put you in Sam Presti's shoes. Which team are you the most afraid of in a meeting? Like he's going in there, he wants to go back to Oklahoma City, but he's going to hear out these other five teams. Which team, just as far as the meeting goes, are you afraid of him getting persuaded by?
Yeah, in terms of which team I think just has the most to offer, would be the best fit for him that isn't the Thunder, because if I had to put my money on it, I would say he'd come back to the Thunder. But if we're eliminating the Thunder from the conversation, and I'm Sam Presti, I think the Warriors are the practical answer. But at the same time, if I'm Presti, like I'm doing whatever I can to get Pat Riley away from Kevin Durant. Like I am boxing out Pat Riley as much as I possibly can. Like he's just got this persuasive manner about him that really he's able to pull off the most incredible things, not just from a talking guys into selling an image and selling a vision and every, you know, great thing that Pat Riley has done. And it's amazing. Part of the amazing thing about Pat Riley is how he's sustained a legacy going from coaching into GMing. I mean, you look at even like Phil Jackson, people joke about Phil Jackson nowadays with some of the things that he's done and says, even though I don't think he deserves all of the hits that he's taken in the front office with the Knicks. You know, he hasn't sustained into later in his career as a front office career like everybody like you know he did as a coach. And you look at Pat Riley and it's like, man, he's as good now as he's ever been. He's never going away. It's amazing. And on top of that, Miami, just with him and Andy Ellisberg, who's his GM, they're able to pull off these ridiculous cap moves that no one else, you know, manipulate the cap in ways that no one else thought of. And it's how they helped bring the big three together. And that would be intimidating for me, I think.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the previous podcast. You know, Miami doesn't make...
You know, we can actually say that might have been the best podcast of all time, and no one can prove that wrong.
It probably was the best podcast of all time. I mean, I've never heard a better podcast recorded that was never published in the history of my life.
No, it's true. My sources are telling me that it would have been the most downloaded podcast ever recorded.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were both going to be like huge, huge stars after that podcast. We were probably going to get like movie deals and stuff about that podcast.
Jake King, the next Gosling.
Yes. So last time you brought up Pat Riley on the previous podcast, we continued to talk about how the Heat they don't, to me, you know, they don't have the timeline that fits Durant. Obviously, Riley can do his crazy stunts and make magic happen like he did with LeBron James and the Miami Heat's big three a few years ago. But they don't have the time. Like, Dwayne Wade's older. Chris Bosh may never play again. Hassan Whiteside, if they sign Kevin Durant, unless they do some wild cap stuff, he is not going to be able to re-sign with them as well. So, to me, Miami, out of the six teams, makes the least sense. Even though they're in the Eastern Conference, I don't know how real it is that he might want to leave the Western Conference. Because you look at it, if you leave the Western Conference, you'll be getting away from the Warriors and the Spurs. And I guess kind of the Clippers, although they haven't really been a huge threat for anybody yet. But you're going to the LeBron. You'd have to face the NBA champions, LeBron James and the Cavaliers, and they're set up to be really good for a while. So it's not like you can just get out of the West and you have this cakewalk to the finals. It's like you get out of the West and you're going to meet LeBron James in the conference finals, and that's tough too. So that I don't know how serious the Eastern Conference thing is, how real that is. I would put Miami lowest on my list. We did this in our last podcast, which again was the most brilliant podcast ever recorded that was never published. What would be your rankings of all the six teams from the least likely chance to get him to the most likely chance?
So practically I am saying Miami's last for all the reasons that you said. That's part of what scares me. Don't you feel like Pat Riley's just got something? Also, you know, something that we should mention is that these don't have to be, you know, the scariest for 2016. Like Kevin Durant, what makes the most sense for Kevin Durant from a financial standpoint, even maybe from an emotional standpoint, you know, if we're going to project our own, you know, priorities and our own values onto him, which is not fair, but it's really the only way to play this for us. So from a financial standpoint, what makes the most sense, you sign a one-year deal, the cap goes up in 2017, you sign a larger max deal because he'll be a 10-year veteran, so he'll get the 10-year veteran's max under a larger salary cap, and you make a ton of more money that way. In 2017, and that's the smart move, and I should say that's the smart financial move if that's what his number one priority is. And you know, if you make that deal with Oklahoma City in 2017, when he becomes a free agent again, I think the Heat become a stronger contender for Durant. For now, it's probably not going to happen. But you make that pitch meeting today and hopefully get him in 2017, almost like what Pat Riley did last year with LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, it didn't work. But Pat Riley said to LaMarcus Aldridge, hey, sign a one-year deal and come to us in 2016, you know? And that didn't work. And that was, I think it was Woj who reported that, that he made that pitch to Aldridge in his meeting. But I think you make a similar one to Durant again this year and you say, maybe it doesn't work, but come back to us next year and you know, you'll like what you see. And then he can – I imagine Pat Riley winks. I don't know if he does. I've never seen him wink.
He's got to be a winker.
He looks like a guy winker. That would wink, you know?
But like a smooth wink. There are a lot of people that can't do the wink. He does the wink, and it works.
Well, because he gels his hair back. He's got that – mousses his hair back. You can only pull off a smooth wink if you can pull off mousse. It's a very It's a very, very connected relationship, very direct.
We did not have the Pat Riley moose talk in podcast one, so we are actually improving upon
it. This is we're breaking new ground right now.
Yes.
this is what NBA reporting is really about, finding the Pat Riley moose things.
It really is. All right, after the Heat, who's next on the list?
So Miami five.
Six.
Oh, it's Miami six. Sorry. Actually, you know what? I'm moving Miami to five. I'm saying the Clippers six. I forgot about the Clippers. I just don't see the Clippers being able to pull off there's too much, you know, if they want to do a sign and trade with Griffin's got a trade kicker of like $6 million, which would complicate that. So there's got to be something else sent back. I think that would take them over the 125% threshold. There's just so much to do, you know, or they trade Griffin into cap space and then renounce all their free agents and then they try to sign them. There's just so much the Clippers have to do. It really complicates matters. I think the only way it happens with the Clippers is if they just make such a strong sell to Durant and Durant says, I'm dead set on going to the Clippers. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm signing with the Clippers no matter what. And the Clippers just kind of, you know, find a way to deal with it. You know, it is going to be easier to clear cap space this year because so many other teams have cap room already. It'll be easier to trade someone into space just because it's easier to find someone who you can trade to and trade your guy into space to, because 2/3 of the league has max cap room already. And, you know, teams will obviously be very happy to take someone like Blake Griffin or, you know, whomever else. But I just don't see that happening with the Clippers. So Clippers 6, Miami 5. I'll say Boston 4. I just don't think the roster is as good as the other three we haven't named yet.
Celtics fans are going to hate you, man.
Celtics fans already hate me. I'm from New York.
But you're a likable New York guy.
I'm a Yankees fan.
One of the few. One of the few.
I trash talk every Red Sox fan I knew when Aaron Boone hit a home run in 2003. It was like I've had spats with Bostonians in my life. Although
what happened the next year though, Fred? What happened the next year?
Well, I've completely forgotten what happened the next year. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened the next year. Pedro Schilling, Game 7, baby.
Oh,
yeah.
Kurt Schilling put ketchup on his sock. That's one of my favorite conspiracy theories, that Kurt Schilling put ketchup on his sock in Game 6, and it wasn't blood. As if Kurt Schilling, who is not the most likable, this is what crazed sports fans have me doing. They have me standing up for Kurt Schilling. As if Kurt Schilling was like, my ankle's not hurting me. I'm going to make everybody think that. I'm going to put ketchup on my sock and make people think it's bleeding. That is one of my favorite sports conspiracy theories.
Who would be the NBA player most likely to put ketchup on his sock?
Oh, that is a really good one. Oh, man. Which NBA player would be most likely to put ketchup? Oh, Manu Ginobili.
No, Ginobili.
He would do it as part of selling a flop. It would be
seen. Okay.
He would do it as part of selling a flop, and then he'd be like, see my ankle.
I like that. Okay, Manu.
Keep the ketchup packet in his sock, so that way when he fell, it would explode. It would be like one of those like prop things that you see stuntmen have.
See, you could go with Marcus Smart there too, but he flops so violently he probably makes himself bleed.
Oh, well,
like
Smart,
real blood.
Smart on the flop of the year last year.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're past the Celtics at number 4 because they're just not as good as the other three teams. Who is number 3?
Yeah, so we have Celtics 4. I'm saying San Antonio 3. You know, it's between them and Golden State as 2 and 3. I just think it's, you know, San Antonio, they also don't have cap room to sign him. They have to make a couple moves. They have to waive Diaw, who's owed guaranteed $3 million, but is on a $7 million deal for next year. They could waive him, waive Simmons, and have to kind of make an ensuing move on top of that. Golden State's got to, you know, renounce free agents and make another move too, probably Bogut or Iguodala. I just see Durant fitting with Golden State better. I see him wanting to live in San Francisco over wanting to live in, over wanting to live in San Antonio. I know he likes the Bay Area just as a place because that's not a weird thing. San Francisco is a wonderful city. I love San Francisco. I see that fit working better. As we talked about, honestly, did we talk about that on now or before? When we talked about how he just wants to, you know, having fun is a priority for him, and that's a place where you can have fun.
That was the last podcast, but we could talk about that a little later too.
Sure. Well, so I have San Antonio 3, Golden State 2, and the Thunder are just intuitive. If I had to put my money on one scenario, it would be 1 year deal with the Thunder. And that doesn't mean that I don't think he could come back in 2017. Even if he absolutely wants to stay with the Thunder and there's no other consideration that he's giving other than just taking these meetings as a token, you know, even if that's the case, he should take a 1 year deal. You know, LeBron's been doing it with the Cavaliers and not many other superstars have that sort of security, even on a 1 year deal. And Kevin Durant is good enough to be able to do that. It seems like the best move for him. I'm sure it's what his agent wants, and seems like the best move from his perspective too.
So the 1+1 deal makes all kinds of sense. And just because he can make more money, he can stay with the Thunder until Russell Westbrook is also a free agent, which makes a lot of sense to see what the Thunder can do with one more year. Maybe they win a title. Maybe he and Russell decide to stay there for a long time coming. But making that decision alongside Westbrook, who has played together with Durant for all of Westbrook's career, just makes all kind of sense to me. I really believe he's going to stay in Oklahoma City. And it's hard for me to envision a scenario where he leaves. But then again, it was hard for me to envision LeBron James leaving the Miami Heat, and he went ahead and did it. And as you said, guys have different priorities. And for LeBron James, it was either going home or it was he wanted to get a younger, great supporting cast in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. Whatever it was, he decided to leave the Miami Heat, where the situation was really good, for Cleveland, of all places, Cleveland. So crazy things can happen. I just think he's going back to Oklahoma City. And I know these other teams have a lot of hope. Obviously, he's going to meet with six teams, including the Thunder. And every team thinks, we can pitch him. The Celtics are sitting there, okay, Brad Stevens, he is a nice selling point. You know, our history, maybe they call Bill Russell, bring him in. I know Larry Bird was one of Kevin Durant's favorite players growing up. So maybe Danny Ainge can have Larry Bird give him a call, even though the Indiana Pacers, obviously, there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. But all these other teams have hope. The Thunder, to me, makes the most sense. He does keep saying, though, that he wants to have fun. And I don't know whether I'm overblowing this, but I've seen this in a few different places where he says he's going to prioritize fun for next year, having fun on the basketball court. And to me, it's like, you cannot have more fun than playing with the Golden State Warriors. And the Celtics, they have fun too, but like launching threes with Steph Curry, launching threes with Klay Thompson, demoralizing opponents all season long, that would be so much fun. Steve Kerr seems like the perfect player's coach. So that seems fun to me. What do you think about his fun comments? Is that real? Am I over reading into that?
No, I don't think so. I think Durant's probably, he's a pretty fun loving guy. He's a very positive personality. There's no question about that. And everyone with the Thunder really likes him. I mean, like, you talk to, you know, players are going to say they like Kevin Durant, but like, you just talk to people who just like work for the Thunder, you know, the people in unglamorous jobs, and they talk about how much they like Kevin Durant. I mean, people just really like him as a person. Yeah, I think he cares about the having fun and the team aspect and all of that. I think you can take that as a way, as a reason for him to come back to Oklahoma City too. I think this was a really, really tight roster. You know, part of, you talk to guys, and you know, obviously if you ask someone in a press conference or in an interview, you put a microphone in their face and you say, how's the team chemistry? They're going to say, the team chemistry is great. We all like each other. We're getting along great. This is one of the tightest teams I've ever been with. We have a great group of guys. And that's going to be the answer every time. But I think when you talk to players and just people around the team, just you, when you're just talking to them and you're not interviewing and just having conversations, I mean, you can tell they like each other. It's not because they say they like each other. It's because you'll be having a conversation and, you know, you'll just be having a buddy conversation with fill in the blank player, and he'll tell you, he'll bring up a funny story about how he was hanging out with two of the other guys, and he'll start laughing about, you know, something funny that happened with them, and they talk about each other the way that you or I would talk about our friends. You know, it's a very kind of familiar, friendly, cheery environment, even amidst kind of a really tough season for this franchise in a lot of ways from an off the court perspective. And, you know, you hear Dion Waiters talk about that stuff all the time. Like, Dion is super open about it. Even in interviews and stuff, he talks about how he's a free agent too. And he's talked about he doesn't want to sign somewhere where he has to come off the bench, but he would love to come off the bench for the Thunder because he wants to play with this group of guys because he loves the guys he's playing with. And I don't think there's really another way to read those sorts of comments. So, you know, that kind of stuff is I think you can you know, read into those fun comments as well.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the earlier awesome podcast too.
Best podcast.
Durant, best podcast ever. So Durant, a lot of times throughout the playoffs especially, I heard him say, you know, this team is so tight. And, you know, Dion Waiters' brother was killed. And Monty Williams' wife died in a tragic accident. And there was just so many hardships off the court. It seemed like it really impacted the guys and maybe brought them closer together. And that team did seem like a really tight group of guys. And you really got that from them. And that has to have a big impact on Durant when he thinks about free agency. The fact that not only has he had a lot of basketball success with these guys, but he really seems to enjoy them as people. And obviously, you know, they're a pretty good basketball team too. One other thing about the potential of him leaving, he would have to be leaving Fred Katz, the Thunder beat reporter of the Norman Transcript. Fred, could we talk before I let you go about you becoming an international internet superstar during the NBA playoffs? Could you just describe to the people what happened that made you go viral?
So Kevin and Russ were at the podium during the Spurs series, and is it fair to say I asked myself a question to the point that when I tweeted out that I was going to be doing it, we're recording this Monday night, and I tweeted out earlier today that I was going to be hosting the Locked On podcast, and when I said I was going to be doing a, you know, solo hosting it, it just brought in a slew of asking myself questions jokes. So that podcast will be a great way for me to ask myself questions as I'll continue to do it.
Yeah. So for the people who aren't aware of what happened, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, after a playoff game, I forget which one, were sitting at the podium together. And you started to ask a question, and you were asking one of them the question, but instead of saying Kevin or Russell, you asked a question, and then you addressed it to Fred yourself. And then, but you handled it perfectly. You said, "Oh, I asked a question of myself." And then the way you handled it, they just loved it, and they laughed so hard. And honestly, Russell Westbrook can be surly with reporters, and he can be surly on the basketball court. And he can seem like a real jerk sometimes. I have never seen him so happy as when he heard you ask yourself a question.
Well, I think Russ thinks I'm a goofball because Russ had fun with me literally my first day at work, where he, like, this also kind of went viral when I asked him how, like, his ability to improvise. I don't remember the question. Something about his ability to improvise, and he said a line that's been repeated to me many times by friends and people elsewhere, which is, "Say what, my man?" And then told me to stop using such big words because I was stumbling over my words when I said it. So Russ really likes having fun with me. So I think he really enjoyed that. Yeah, I mean, Kevin enjoyed it too, I think. Kevin, the next day at practice, like, we have to wait in the media room during practice, and then we come out, and we kind of have to huddle when they're done in the corner of, like, one of the courts, and we wait for them to come over and talk to us, and that's how we get our practice interviews. And the next day after that press conference, Kevin, like, came over, and it's normally, you know, they're really professional, they're really together, they're really, you know, it's a playoff series, they have to be into the game, and aside from Steven Adams, no one's, like, joking around, or, you know, Cantor, no one's joking around or anything. And Kevin Durant comes up to me, and he slaps me on the shoulder hard, and he goes, "Hey, Fred!" So I think Kevin enjoyed it too, but I've been memed way more than I ever thought I would ever be memed.
Yeah, you quickly, from the day you got on the Thunder beat, it was like viral sensation after big time meme, after, I mean, just everything you could do, everything you did do, just turned into internet gold. And I might need to take notes because you were just an internet sensation from day one. Anyway, that's just another thing Kevin Durant has to think about this summer when he chooses whether to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder. If he leaves, there are no other reporters like Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript. There is nobody else making viral gold day after day in the playoff run like Fred did. So that's just another thing that will probably lend itself to Kevin Durant staying in Oklahoma City, which is the likely outcome, no matter how often people want to talk about Durant going to the Celtics or Durant going to Golden State or Durant going anywhere else. Anyway, we finally finished the podcast, the second podcast. The first podcast, that's going wherever lost podcasts go. I guess we'll call it podcast heaven. And that's about it. That's all we've got. Thank you for listening. This has been Jay King for Locked On Celtics with the Rain and Jays with Locked On Thunder's Fred Katz. Have fun with that, by the way, Fred. I'll be listening, and hopefully some of the people from Locked On Celtics will go over, listen to some of the Kevin Durant stuff, listen to Fred tell some fantastic stories. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.